Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. Friday edition of the program. Indiana goes to Iowa City last night and leaves with a big win over the number four team in the nation. And I am probably the first guy, I think Alex Bozich and I yesterday, we gave Indiana very little opportunity, very little chance to win the game last night. But based on how this team's playing and what happened with the Purdue game, I'm not sure why you would be willing to think that Indiana could go to a team led by Iowa and led by Luka Garza and some other really key players and shooters and get a win. But Indiana did what they needed to do. I think a lot of it was Indiana's defense. There's kind of been a debate, I know, on some of the post-game shows and on social media. Was it to do more with Indiana's defense against Iowa, slowing them down, making them way off their normal shooting percentages, really stopping some of the other guys, especially Jordan Bohannon, or was it just simply an off night for Iowa? We'll give credit to both. I think Indiana defensively was really, really good last night. And that, I think, if Indiana's going to get this ship righted, and last night is a big step in the middle of the season to helping get it going in the right direction with a big unexpected road win, I think defense, we know, is going to have to be a signature portion, signature item, whatever you want to call it, for this team. And so, big win last night. Couple notes just to start the program on last night's game. Think about last Thursday. Think about last Friday when we came on the air. Indiana had just lost to Purdue. It's just an okay Purdue team that maybe is better than what we thought. Since that point, they've had a good win or so. Archie Miller getting lots of criticism, lots of players getting criticism after the Purdue game. And now, just 1 week later, after a game was canceled in the middle and Indiana had the opportunity to really practice, and as Archie Miller said after the game last night, not worry about using guys' legs too much, not worry about some of the things that's in the back of your mind as you want to have a tough practice and you want to really dive in and work on things, but you don't want to get anybody hurt or you don't want to wear out or fatigue anybody further. I think that week of practice may have been a key for this Indiana team. They're not going to obviously get that opportunity all the time on any regular basis whatsoever, but they go from the Purdue loss, which was a bad one in many ways, and bad for Archie Miller and his career, to be honest. There probably was more discussion from a regular season loss about, is Archie Miller going to make it? Is he going to be the coach at Indiana next year or 2 years from now than what there had ever been after any other regular season game? That kind of stuff comes up when you don't make the tournament. It comes up when you get knocked out in the postseason by somebody that you're not supposed to. It comes up when you look back on a season where there maybe were some disappointments in the record or the performance of players, but it doesn't come up all the time in the regular season. But after a loss, a bad loss, the way Indiana played to rival Purdue, it came up. It came up a lot. And it's just fans passionately talking about it. But now, a week later from that, we're talking about Indiana going on the road and beating Luka Garza's team. Now, he got his 28 points. He is damn good. There's no question about that. But Indiana really did a number defensively, especially with some foul problems early and riddled with foul problems really throughout the game. Some amazing things defensively last night. And again, I think probably a combination of it just wasn't Bohannon's night. We'll say that as well. But Indiana's defense, I think, did have a lot to do generally with things. But we go from a real low last Thursday, losing to rival Purdue, to a real high today, coming off a huge road win against the top four team. And this just, to me, again, solidifies, and you know what I'm going to say if you listen to this program every day, how good and how crazy the Big Ten Conference is. I mean, really, if you look at the results and who's beat who and who's close to beating who, who's blown out who, who's gotten blown out you didn't think would get blown out, it's crazy. Absolutely crazy results. And last night, just another example that in a game where people, IU fans, myself, Alex Bozich, people that watch this Indiana team that follow this stuff, we didn't give them any chance, very little chance to win the game. They do it, and that just tells you that in this Big Ten, that's just how things are going to go, and Indiana's going to win some that you probably don't think they'll win to finish the season. If you're a Hoosier fan, you hope that, and they're probably going to, unfortunately, lose some that you think after a win like that last night on the road that they should win. One other note as well, Alex Bozich tweeted this, and I agree with him wholeheartedly. Very likely you could make an argument that last night's win, the way Indiana played, the number of players that played well, Jordan Geronimo stepping up, Trace Jackson Davis, Robert Fennessy, Al Durham, Armon Franklin, the list goes on of guys that had good nights. But you could make the argument, I think, pretty easily, and I'd have to go back and look at, you know, some things to refresh my memory, but you could make the argument that that's one of the biggest wins for Archie Miller in his tenure so far at Indiana on the road to this Iowa team that's being floated as possibly a number one seed in the NCAA tournament with Luka Garza, who's, I think, already locked in to be the Big Ten player of the year again this season. One of the biggest wins, I think, if not the biggest win of his time at Indiana. I was kind of thinking about that as the final seconds were ticking off the scoreboard last night. And then I saw Alex's tweet after the game, and I agree. I think it's one of his, if not his biggest win of his time at Indiana so far. But a huge win for Indiana last night. Plenty to talk about that game, and we're going to do that, obviously, today and get into some other stuff as well. But let's take a look at the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one coming up here in just a few moments. We have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Of course, a lot of our headlines today will be focused on the game last night. We'll kind of give you a review and talk about some of the top performers and other things that stood out in the contest last night. Also, a note on Cody Zeller and Romeo Langford coming up in our headlines segment as well. And we'll get you ready for some high school basketball because we've got an interesting game tonight, New Albany and Silver Creek, and I'll give you my thoughts on that. And that's our Friday night game here on the Big X as far as play-by-play. That game sold out, by the way. But we'll have more on that game coming up here in the opening segment. Also, later in the show, Dylan Wallace, Sports Illustrated Indiana, he joins. And, of course, we'll break down last night's big win for Indiana. We'll talk about where this puts the Hoosiers in the conference. And, you know, it's to the point, and I've kind of mentioned this the last few days as we head to February, after wins, after losses, with each week in the books of the Big Ten season, we can really start sizing things up. You're going to see more bracketologies out. You're going to see more discussion about number one seeds in the tournament. We're going to start finding out more details about how this, we hope, one-time-only crazy NCAA format in the state of Indiana, in Indianapolis, is going to work. And so it's time to start thinking about where Indiana's stacking up in things, in the conference, in their records, for the NCAA tournament. And one other note, I meant to say this at the top of the show. Last night's win, I know it's late January, mid-January, whatever you want to call it, but last night's win is also a big NCAA tournament resume piece for this team that's going to need, I think, when it comes down to it, coming out of the Big Ten Conference, all the help. Everybody needs all the help they can get to solidify their resume. And a road win against Iowa yesterday, that's also a big resume piece for this team, a really big resume piece for this team. But we'll do that in the headlines or in the segment two with Dylan. And then later in the program, as always on Fridays, Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star is with us. We'll get into some high school stuff. We'll talk about some other Indiana players that are doing well in college hoops. One of them last night, Jack Nungy, playing at Iowa. A couple of Indiana guys on that Iowa team last night. But Jack Nungy getting some real minutes for Iowa. We'll cover some IU or some in-state guys, I mean, that are playing well in college hoops with Kyle Neddenrip coming up here in just a bit. That's the show lineup at service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out their new dinner package deals that are now being offered. You can dine in, take them to go, and curbside service still available as well if you call ahead at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And I don't know about you, but the way the game started out, Iowa scored about 30 points in the first 11 minutes or so of the game. And they were on pace, it looked like, for this very potent offensive team to roll again. Now, Indiana was hanging close, and Indiana made some big shots. And there were some guys knocking down some perimeter shots, I thought, in the first half, especially later in the half, that helped keep Indiana in the ballgame when it got to be, what, an 8-point margin, maybe a 9-point margin, the most it got in the first half. But Iowa's offense started off looking strong. Luca Garza was rolling, and it looked like this could be, honestly, a long second half for Indiana unless they continue to make some big shots as well. Little did we know that things would completely flip in the second half, and Iowa's offense, that's, again, noted as one of the best in the country based off the computer rankings. I think they were number one, right, in KenPom, really slowed down. I think a combination of their own struggles, but also a big part of that Indiana's defense last night. Looking at the box score, a number of players in double figures. This is what you want to see in some of these tough Big Ten Conference games. Jackson Davis was really good last night, 9 of 14 from the field. If there's one mark against him last night, if you want to pick something apart of his game, by the way, he had 7 rebounds, but 5 of 10 from the free throw line. 5 of 10 from the free throw line, 50%. Indiana's free throw shooting in the game was pretty dismal until they got to the latter stages and made them when they really needed to make them to keep the lead and then eventually expand the lead toward the end of the game. But Trace Jackson Davis, I think clearly he's the standout performer in the game last night. But if I was picking a player of the game, Rob Phinisee, Big Shot Rob is how he's been known here and there over his career. Boy, he had some big ones last night, 18 points. He was 6 of 12 from the field, 4 of 7 from the three-point line, 2 of 4 from the charity stripe. Big, big performance for Phinisee last night. I think it's maybe his best all-time game, overall all-time game at Indiana last night. If you take the points and the assist and the ball handling and running the offense and also hitting some key shots during very key moments of that game, I think I'd pick Rob Phinisee as my player of the game if my back was against the wall. Al Durham, 14 points last night. He played really good. Good to see Armon Franklin play well last night. And how about Jordan Geronimo coming in and getting some real minutes, getting 7 points? He showed that athleticism last night. Boy, he can sky to the rim, both on the offensive and defensive end, trying to score, trying to dunk, whatever it is, and for rebounds as well. He is right there when the ball comes off the rim. He, I think, is going to be a really fun guy to watch him develop more and more, even this season for Indiana as they go against Big Ten Conference play. But he was a bright spot yesterday as well. And you remember that Trey Galloway, we found out at tip-off, not going to play last night because of some minor back injuries, some soreness, it sounds like, that he's been fighting through in the last game and maybe in some of the practices. But he was off, or he had the night off last night for Indiana. So overall, some really good things to take from the box score last night. And you have to wonder, Indiana stopping some of Iowa's secondary scoring keys. And with that, Wieskamp and Bohannon. I mean, Bohannon scoreless in the game last night. And again, I know it's not all Indiana's defense. I'm not going to be that naive to admit that, but it had a lot to do with it. And he clearly was off of his game and clearly not himself. And Indiana's perimeter defense was so much better last night against Iowa than what it was against Purdue just a week ago. Crazy the turnaround. And obviously a big, big win for Indiana last night. Plenty of things to talk about. I could keep going about the Iowa game last night, the win for Indiana, but want to move to a couple other things as we close out our headlines. Charlotte Hornets, Cody Zeller, former IU basketball player, he is back in practice. The team has had some issues because of COVID pauses in the NBA. Getting in the game recently, earlier this week, and they may still be missing some games, but Cody Zeller back earlier this week with practice with the Charlotte team. He broke his hand in the season opener before Christmas on December 23rd, and was supposed to be out, I think, longer than what he is or has been, maybe till early to mid-February. But back now for practice at least, and we expect to see Cody Zeller return. And I know a lot of IU fans, a lot of Cody Zeller fans out there want to see him get back in things in the NBA. Speaking of guys that are out, Romeo Langford on the Boston Celtics injury reports that come out each day, he continues to be listed as out for his right wrist surgery. And you think maybe at some point, I think there's a thought that we could see him back in February. I don't know that it's going to be right away early in the month, but keep an eye on that Celtics injury report to see if Romeo eventually goes from out to questionable and then from questionable to in the lineup for this Boston team. And, of course, the big question is for him when he becomes eligible to play, when he's out there on the court, on the bench, in the lineup, not on the injury report. What type of minutes will he get for this Boston team? They've had some crazy scores recently. They've won some games, but they've also gotten beat, just blown out by the Knicks and a couple people that you think that they would beat. So it'll be interesting to see where Romeo fits in when we get back to seeing him on the court. And let's hope that he gets healthy this season and has a chance to find a real role and a real spot that he can contribute on the Boston roster. That's a look at our headlines for this Friday edition of the program. We will head to a commercial break, and when we come back, segment two with Dylan Wallace of Sports Illustrated Indiana, a full breakdown of IU Iowa. I've given you some of my thoughts. We've covered some of the top performers and some of the keys to the victory, but there's a lot more to talk about with Dylan. A huge win, maybe the biggest of Archie Miller's career at Indiana, and also a big tournament resume piece for IU. We'll discuss all of that and more with Dylan Wallace in the next segment. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back to break down the IU win at Iowa City last night. And Dylan Wallace of Sports Illustrated Indiana is my guest. You can read his great coverage of the Hoosiers at si.com/college/Indiana. And Dylan is kind enough to join us on Fridays. Dylan, I had a lot of praise, and I think there's plenty of praise to hand out for this Indiana team in the first segment today after their win last night and the way they played and biggest win maybe of Archie Miller's time at Indiana. But I want to start with a negative about this team. It's not just last night's game, but it's kind of a reoccurring theme, and it's a story that you wrote earlier this week. But Indiana, if there's one area, even after the big win last night, and I know there's plenty of things to watch with this Indiana team, where you need to see improvement or continued improvement coming out off of the win, but free throw shooting for this team is not very good, and Archie Miller has talked some about that recently.
Yeah, it's not very good at all, and the unfortunate thing is that it's kind of been a problem. I mean, the last three years, really, they just haven't been good or consistent at knocking down, you know, free throws. That's a very important part of the game, especially when it's a close game, and those are important things you have to knock down. They missed 14 free throws last night, and you know, you win the game by 12, so you know, you're kind of okay. But you know, just thinking about the game before that, against Purdue, they missed 13 free throws and they lost the game by 12. I'm not saying you're not going to ever win, but if you make some more of those free throws against Purdue, it's a little bit of a closer game down the stretch there. It's just been a problem that they've had. And, you know, Archie Miller, you know, I think he was asked a question about three-point shooting, just about the inconsistency of knocking down outside shots. And he kind of just flipped that and said, I'm not worried about that. Those shots are going to fall. What I'm concerned about is our ability to knock down free throws because it's killing us right now, is what he said. And it really was, you know, before yesterday. And, you know, hey, if they would have lost yesterday, it would have been closer down the stretch. You would have looked at that again and been like, wow, you know, you leave 14 points on the board or somewhere close around that. I think Al Durham, you know, he's one of the best free throw shooters on the team. I think he kind of stepped up last night, went 9-10 from the line and made some big ones kind of at the end there to make sure. Keep Iowa, you know, an arm's length away there down the stretch, which was good. But, yeah, it's definitely just a thing that You know, as fans, you know, you get really angry at it because, you know, you think like, oh, I could make free throws. They're free, you know. No one's defending you. You just go up and shoot it. You know, obviously with pressure in the game, it could be a little bit of the hardest thing. But, I mean, you know, these guys have played basketball their whole lives. You should be able to knock down free throws at a little bit of a better rate than Indiana is right now. I think I don't know what the total. I don't know what they are now after last night's performance. Before that, they were about 67% on the season, which is not very good. So you know, you hope as the season goes on, as games get closer. You know, I mean, we know how big free throws can be in the tournament if you get into that. I mean, those are everything sometimes down the stretch there. So hopefully, it's an area that they'll improve on as the season goes on.
All right, let's talk more about some of the positives from last night, Dylan. What a win for Indiana. Not just a win that helps coming off the dismal performance in the loss to rival Purdue a week ago, but it helps in the Big Ten standings, and it really helps with the NCAA tournament resume that this team is working to build in a very ultra-competitive Big Ten conference.
Yeah, that was a huge win. And you mentioned it kind of when you opened. I think it is. I think it might be the best win in Archie Miller's tenure so far at Indiana. You know, I think the Michigan State win in, I think it was the spring of 2019 was, I think Michigan State was also top five and they were on the road. Jerome Morgan went down, got hurt, and they were able to pull that out in overtime. That was a pretty big win in the moment. But I don't know. I mean, just the way they were able to just completely take over the game in the last 10 minutes. You know, I think when Indiana went down eight in the second half, it felt like it was sort of over. You know, they hung around in the first half and hung around for a bit in the second half. But once Iowa went up eight, you know, you're kind of like, here we go again. Like, we've seen this before. There was no really real reason for you to believe that they were going to, like, come back and be able to win that game. And just the switch that was flipped there in those last 10 minutes was really impressive. A lot of it was done without Trace on the floor as well. And I think that's the best win that he's had as a coach here. And, you know, for the team, I mean, that win was really huge. You know, as you mentioned, NCAA tournament hopes, you know, they were kind of, I guess, veering toward a bubble situation, being on kind of the bubble with their losses lately. But, you know, that win's going to put them right back up there to kind of get in. And, you know, you got to – it was just huge. I mean, I was impressed with the way they were able to play. And, you know, if they lost that game, I think you kind of look down the schedule and you're like, oh, my gosh, you know, where are they going to get some more wins here? Because, you know, we've talked about how tough the upcoming games are. But now you have this momentum. You have this confidence. You got to capitalize on it. I think that's something that, you know, Archie Miller kind of and this Indiana team has not done over the last 3 years is kind of capitalize on these opportunities. You know, you're gonna host a Rutgers team who's lost five games in a row on Sunday on your own court in Assembly Hall, and you just have to win that game. You know, I think we've seen. You know, I think you've seen instances where Indiana kind of goes and loses that game, and you can't lose this momentum. You got to keep it up, and that's I think Sunday is going to be a huge game for them because they just need to, you know, you got to win the games you're supposed to win, especially now at this point in the year. So I'm looking to Sunday to be a really important performance for Indiana. You know, they got to step up and go. But yeah, last night was very impressive. A lot of guys stepped up, which I think we might get into. But yeah, that was a really good performance by Indiana.
Dylan, I want to ask you last night as you go through the box score and as you watch the game, it's a good thing when you can't clearly pick out a star, a key player, a standout, whatever you want to call him from the contest. And Trace Jackson Davis probably gets the nod because he's just such a big-time player for the Hoosiers consistently. And what he has to go against, all the different defenses and double teams that are thrown at him. But 23 points and very efficient from the field last night. His free throw shooting, as we've already discussed, was the one thing you'd like to see improve. He was 5 of 10, 50% last night. But I'm not so sure I would make a case for Robert Phinisee for what he did for the Hoosiers running the show, but also scoring 18 points and hitting some very, very key shots in key moments, I thought.
I think it was the best game that I've seen Rob Phinisee play kind of so far, for sure this season, maybe even in his Indiana career. I mean, that was a really impressive performance for him. You know, I was watching kind of the Indiana basketball tweet. I like, roll the tape. You know, they had the highlights of kind of the game last night, and I was watching it back, and I was like, wow. I did not realize, you know, you don't realize, like, maybe in the moment, how impressive Rob Phinisee was that entire game. Just from start to finish, I mean, he had huge shots in the first half. I think he had a couple of triples that were just big. You know, he did not hesitate to shoot the ball. and he's able to knock him down. And he also just penetrated the paint, which is huge. You know, whenever we kind of talk to Rob, and he's talked about how important it is for him to kind of be aggressive, get the paint, collapse it, kick out the shooters. And you saw that a lot yesterday. I mean, he attacked those Iowa guards who, you know, aren't the greatest defensively. So I was happy that, you know, Indiana's guards were actually kind of aggressive, trying to turn the corner on them. And that's what Rob did. And, you know, he created some opportunities for some of his teammates, some kickouts for threes in the second half. He was able to, you know, get some little floaters himself. And just on both ends of the floor, I really think he was just impressive the whole entire night. You know, Iowa's guards are obviously can score and shoot the ball very well. And, you know, this is also a testament to Allen Armon as well. Just when as soon as the Iowa guards would catch the ball, they'd be right up on them. You know, they did not, you know, Iowa did miss some open looks they usually hit, but, you know, for the most part, Indiana's guards did a really nice job kind of, you know, collapsing on that 3-point line, making sure that they were kind of right in their faces when they got the ball, you know, which was great because they've been struggling to kind of defend the 3-point shot lately. Yeah, Rob was great. You mentioned Trace. I mean, it speaks to how good he is that it felt like he had a sort of quiet 23-7. Like, you know, obviously he had some foul trouble. He didn't play in some moments. But, you know, I remember obviously the big highlights he had, but, you know, I didn't realize, you know, he had 23-7. Like, I think it was a sort of quiet 23-7, which just speaks to how good he is. And, yeah, you know, the guard stepped up. I think Jordan Geronimo played amazing as well. For the 10 minutes he had, he did what he needed to do, which was really great. But, yeah, to me, that's the best game I've seen Rob Simmons play.
In speaking of Geronimo, let's talk more about him. Do you think last night, and he's gotten a few opportunities here and there, the freshmen have, especially in the last few games when Archie Miller had talked about needing to extend the bench and get more players in the rotation. But could last night be maybe the start of something for Geronimo in his freshman year at Indiana? And talk about what you saw from his performance, because, my goodness, I saw an athletic guy that is still raw but getting better get some really key moments out there as a freshman for Indiana in that game. And really, and again, it wasn't just early or filling in a foul situation. I guess technically the foul problems allowed him to get more time than what he normally would in a game like that. But he really came in some key moments of the game, and I thought very much held his own.
Yeah, he definitely did. I remember, you know, in the preseason when we were talking about sort of the freshman, you know, I mentioned Geronimo is a guy who I thought could contribute, you know, this year. And, you know, through the first 14 games or whatever, you know, you didn't really see that. You know, you didn't really see him look exactly ready. But, you know, just with no depth in that front court and with Joey out, you know, you needed someone with some sort of size to help, you know, spill Trace and Race, you know, help out if they get into foul trouble, which they sort of did last night. Both of them kind of did. And, you know, it was only a matter of time, you know, where you felt like, you know, Geronimo's got to see at least a few minutes. At least, if anything, you know, he could come in and just be a body that could, you know, bother somebody else's bigs or foul himself, you know. But, you know, last night was really impressive. You know, he defended Garza pretty well, and Garza's probably the national player of the year. And, you know, he did just enough. You know, he's athletic. He can jump. He's got a long reach. So, I mean, he just did a really nice job defensively and offensively. You know, he was spotted where he needed to be. He stood where he needed to be. You know, I remember one play, he was, you know, I was in the zone, and he just planted his feet on the baseline. You know, Indiana's able to break it down, get it to him for a wide-open dunk. And that's, you know, he just did what he was supposed to do. And he was there. You know, he grabbed some good rebounds, and his big kind of one-handed slam there in the second half, kind of a pick and roll with Armon Franklin, was a hype kind of moment for that team. Trace on the bench, and he was jumping up down like crazy, which is awesome that, you know, your star player is so happy that a freshman is in kind of in his spot right there, making a big play. So yeah, you know, he only played 10 minutes, went 3 of 3 from the field, had 7 points. So yeah, he played really well. And I think just based on that, you know, you would assume that he's going to get some more minutes going forward. Maybe probably just a similar role as what he did last night. You know, even if it's just around 10, maybe it's up to 15, maybe it's something like that. You know, just every game, you know, you try to get him into double-digit minutes just so he can give some of those front-court players some rest. And also, you know, if he can be as good and as sound as he was last night, that's only going to help this Indiana team going forward.
talking to Dylan Wallace, Sports Illustrated Indiana. So many things to talk about from a positive perspective last night for Indiana. But let's do look ahead here for a few moments. You mentioned Sunday, another opportunity for this Indiana team, and it's back at home, and it's in the middle of this really rough five-game stretch. Rutgers comes to town. I've not focused on Rutgers here lately. There have been so many happenings in the Big Ten and surprises, but where's this Rutgers team at as they get ready to head into Sunday's contest?
Yeah, they have really, really struggled. You know, they started out the year really well. You know, they were in the top 25. They were beating some teams. You know, they beat Illinois, and they were able to beat a lot of really good teams. And then all of a sudden, I think going back to the start of January, they have just lost five games in a row. They lost to Iowa, Michigan State, Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Penn. They lost to Penn State last night. So they have really struggled to get things going. And you know, they're gonna be looking to get things back on track. You know, this is a gritty kind of grinded out team. So there's no question they're gonna be pretty determined to try to, you know, get themselves back on track. And you know, Indiana cannot kind of fall into this trap and kind of let it up. You know, Rutgers, you know, they just offensively they have not been able to put the ball in the basket at a good rate. You know, Geo Baker and Ron Harper are both sort of struggling right now. They're probably their two best offensive players. But, you know, this is a team that is capable of causing, you know, some havoc in the Big Ten. They're just in a really tough spot right now. And Indiana cannot let them sort of snap out of it in Assembly Hall. They got to be able to clamp them down and get another win because, you know, like I said, the momentum from that Iowa win, you know, you got to follow up on it. I think we mentioned the Michigan State win in 2019. Pretty sure they lost the next game after that big win. This is a very similar thing. Huge road win for the program. You're kind of back on the map, so to say. You feel like you're in the right direction right now, kind of heading toward the last, you know, few months and weeks of the season. So this is just a huge game to capitalize on, especially because after Rutgers, you know, you got Michigan on the road, you got Illinois and Bloomington, you got Iowa and Bloomington. So it's not going to be easy. You got to win the games that you're supposed to win here, and Rutgers on Sunday is a game that Indiana is supposed to win, and they need to win to keep the momentum going for them.
Talking to Dylan Wallace, Sports Illustrated Indiana, as we close out this conversation after a big win last night for the Hoosiers, we're headed to February. NCAA tournament is going to become a regular discussion item, a sidebar to all of the Big Ten games going on the rest of the way very soon, and we're going to start looking at this Big Ten race and the standings and the records and where Indiana specifically is at as you think to the NCAA tournament after each game to kind of compare and contrast and see how close we think the Hoosiers are. Bracketologies are starting to come out and will be updated more regularly once we get into February. Last night, a big boost in that whole effort. Not only is it a win in the conference, not only does it keep Indiana there in the middle of the conference, but also I think it's a big resume booster to go on the road. It goes without saying to win at the number 4 ranked team in the country on the road. That's one of those things when it comes nip and tuck down the line and you're looking for little things the committee is to separate some of these different teams, especially coming out of the Big Ten Conference. There could be so many. That's an accolade that if I'm Archie Miller, I'm probably most excited about with last night's win.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Iowa's going to stay, probably going to stay in the top 10, you know, the rest of the season. So, you know, that win's going to stay good no matter what throughout the rest of the year, which is really good. And you mentioned kind of in the Big Ten standings, you know, that was a big win in the sense that it just got you back to 500. That was huge for them not to fall kind of two games under. You know, they're 4-4 now, which, again, just points to the importance of Rutgers Sunday. You know, you get to 5-4, you're above 500 in the conference, and you can build off of that and try to stay above, you know, 500 in the conference. I don't know how many times Indiana goes 10-10 and they go under 500. I think maybe 2016, the year that, you know, Yogi Ferro was here, was the last time that they finished above 500 in the Big Ten. So this is an opportunity here for them to sort of do that. You know, if you finish above 500 in the Big Ten, you're going to get the NCAA tournament. Like, I think it's pretty much a given at this point. If you're able to accomplish that, you should be pretty safe for your chances to get into the tournament. So it's just a big win for them. Big resume booster, as you said, especially just when when people are looking at sort of, you know, who did they beat, and you know, what is this win? It's a quad one win and all that kind of stuff. You know, that this win is right up there with the best of them, you know, the top five road win. So it was huge for them. And I cannot just stress enough how important I think it is for them to build off this momentum. I just feel like we haven't seen Archie Miller teams be able to capitalize and string together a lot of wins kind of in the Big Ten. And you know, you got to take what you can get, and you got to build off of things that when you do really well. And, hey, maybe those 11 days or those the Michigan State game being canceled, the week off for them was just huge for them to sort of regroup and, you know, get a little bit of a bye week, so to say. Like in the NFL, you sort of bye week, you regroup, you kind of refocus, and, you know, hey, they showed last night what they can do when they're clicking. And you just hope that it stays consistent. Because if it does, you know, this team will get into the tournament, and, you know, from there, anything can happen, I think. So, you know, I think for Indiana fans, that it was a real positive for them to kind of get their spirits up, especially kind of with the lingering loss from Purdue, you know, your rival for a whole week. This was a great thing for the program, and, you know, just got to build off it going forward.
Absolutely. Dylan Wallace, Sports Illustrated Indiana. You can read his work, si.com/college/Indiana. Dylan, have a great weekend.
Yep, you guys too. Thank you so much.
We'll get ready and head to commercial break. We'll come back with Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. But I want to mention this. The Big Ten, there are rumors considering moving the conference tournament from Chicago, where it's scheduled to be, to Indianapolis, of course, which is going to be the host of everything else in the postseason as far as the NCAA tournament goes. Right now in Chicago and the state of Illinois, there could be no fans. In Indiana, there's a possibility of some immediate family for sure, but maybe fans. They're going to kind of look at things for March coming up soon, it sounds like, with the NCAA tournament coming to town. So could the conference tournament move to Indianapolis? And also, will conference tournaments be played? That's been another storyline with all the testing and the quarantine period before you go into the NCAA tournament-controlled environment. How would that work out? Interesting stuff. We'll continue to follow it. We'll be back with Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back. Final segment of the week here on this Friday program. Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star, my guest. And Kyle, can you believe as we get through this weekend and get into next week, we'll be headed to February and we'll be seeing girls' tournaments start very soon. The girls' pairings are this weekend. We'll carry them Sunday here on the Big X. But we're going to be talking about the boys' tournaments very soon. It's hard to believe this season is quickly flying by.
Oh yeah, I mean it's flying by. I feel like this whole season, in a lot of ways, is even back to the fall has really flown by, and I guess it's probably from all that time we had off in between. But yeah, it's hard to believe. It always seems like, you know, for me at least, once we get to the Marion County and City, which the city's going this week, and then, you know, you're kind of waiting for the tournament to start, you know, those next few weeks of February. So. It's a fun time. There's a lot of, as this season materializes, there's just a lot of really good teams, I think, which will make for a fun tournament. Maybe, you know, more so, I feel like this year, there's just, you have those upper echelon teams, but then a ton of teams that are just really good, you know, and can beat each other on any given night. And I think that's going to make for a really good competitive tournament, and a lot of teams around the state that are really good this year, too. So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens.
Kyle, earlier this week, the IHSA announced that there was going to be a change from semi-state to the state finals weekend because of the NCAA tournament dominating a lot of the facilities in greater Indianapolis. But Bankers Life Fieldhouse is busy on the traditional date for many, many years of the state finals. So after semi-states, there'll be a week pause, and then the Bankers Life will return. I think it's April 3rd, that Saturday, as the site of 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A state championship games. Not a big deal for most people. It's only going to affect eight teams, two in each class. And also, I think that if anyone, those coaches, whoever makes it there, would find some issues with it when you remember that we're playing in the middle of a pandemic and that last year's tournament was canceled. Things like that seem to not matter as much. But any thoughts on that? That will sure be different for those teams that are still alive to go from a semi-state to a whole off week to be able to prepare and maybe slow things down a little bit before they get to the state championship.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's not a huge deal because it is only one, you know, one day and it's only eight teams total. But it's sort of like a Super Bowl now where you have a week in between and you know, a week off, basically. So another week to practice and, you know, prepare for those games. That's a long time to have off, but you know, for basketball in particular. But I think it's the – I think, you know, from talking to people, the IHSA kind of, you know, went with the path of least resistance and maybe that's a wrong phrase, but just the least amount of teams that are affected by it. You know, they could have juggled some other things around and, you know, move some other dates in the tournament. But I think it this way they could – you know, only impact those eight teams. There was talk about potentially moving it to another site, you know, and keeping that date intact, the normal date. But I think this is probably the best way to do it. And I also agree with what you said about, you know, we're so used to adjustments at this point that, you know, this doesn't seem that big a deal to me anyway. I know there were some, you know, and I'd heard this last week that this was probably going to happen. I, you know, wasn't completely sure what day it was going to be, but knew they would have to move it off this date. And, you know, to me, this is not a huge thing, but it does extend the season into April, which we've never seen since 1978. And it's funny, I've gone back and read a lot even before this happened about that year because of the energy crisis, and they had to move the tournament back, and teams were playing you know, games kind of in between, you know, just you know, it was just kind of a weird time. I think the state finals were April 15th that year, so that was a really late finish, and maybe we can revisit that year in a story down the road here at some point. But yeah, it's interesting because they will finish in April. It's not, to me, a huge thing. And the fact that we'll actually have a tournament, I think, is probably the main thing. And, you know, it's still weird to me not having, you know, big crowds and stuff like that. But, you know, I think that's just going to be, you know, what we'll have to, you know, get used to for the rest of this season anyway. And maybe things will change by the time we're in football season next season.
Kyle Nedrip of the Indianapolis Star, and I agree with you. I was at a game Tuesday. We did the Jeff and North Oldham from Kentucky game here on the Big X Tuesday night, and that may have been the most normal game because it's a Tuesday night game. It's a team from Kentucky, and you just don't expect a ton of fans. But, you know, Jeffersonville, especially with the talent they've got this year, they're going to get some people in there. Definitely wouldn't have been as empty as what it was on Tuesday, but tonight for New Albany Silver Creek, there can be 1,000 people in the gym. Floyd County, where New Albany's located now, back to orange and have been there for the number of days required to allow fans back in. So season ticket holders, welcome to come back out. B.J. McAllister from New Albany, the AD there, put that announcement out. But even 1,000 for a big game with Trey Kaufman and Cooper Jacoby going against the Bulldogs at the Doghouse, it just doesn't seem all the way normal. But compared to some of the other crowds recently, it'll be a lot more normal tonight for a meaningful game here in Southern Indiana than what it has been.
Yeah, well, I was at that game last year. I remember seeing you there at Silver Creek last year. So hard to believe that's a year ago, and in some ways it seems like 10 years ago. But, but you know, that was. And I, you know, I think back to that game and what a great crowd that was, and it was all the way packed. And you know, obviously I've been at the New Albany for some of those Romeo Langford games where it was just insane crowds, and you know, the place was sold out, you know, before the JV game started. So, you know, that is weird and you know, different, and I felt it to hear for sure. There's different games where you feel like you know, man, the Carmel Cathedral game I covered last week, for example, you know, it was, you know, two teams ranked in the top five and normally would be a really good crowd at Carmel, and you know, and Carmel lost by one. But, you know, talking to Ryan Osborne, the Carmel coach, after the game, you know, he just felt like, you know, gosh, this didn't feel like we had any energy, but you know, maybe that's, you know, just because of the crowd not being there, and you kind of associate energy with crowds, and you know, it's maybe not, you know, we're just not going to have that this year. But there have been other places I've been where the gym's maybe a little bit smaller and it feels a little bit more normal. And, you know, when crowds are or when counties are in the orange, then you can have, you know, obviously have more people in the building. So it does feel a little bit more normal, but when they're in the red, it's definitely, kind of a dead crowd, and that's just, you know, unfortunate, but some of those parents, you know, they can make their voices heard to the officials a little bit easier, and maybe that's even worse, but it is weird. You can kind of hear everything. You can hear what the coaches say. You can hear what the players say on the floor, and it is just a lot different. But when the counties are in the orange, it does feel like a little bit more normal, at least.
Kyle Ned and Rip, Indianapolis Star. Kyle, catch up to you soon. Thanks. And it's hard to believe as we continue to have these chats on Fridays, before you know it, it's going to be time for the pairings and the postseason. It's a lot of fun to think about, and I think we all have our fingers crossed that everything goes okay and that we can maybe have a few fans in the building. But, Kyle, thank you. Appreciate it very much.
Yep, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks a lot, Matt. Have a good weekend.
Most definitely. And a reminder for tonight, I've had a number of people ask over the last couple days, what is the status for the New Albany Silver Creek game tonight? It's orange status, and New Albany, Floyd County has been in that category now for enough days where they can revert back to 1,000 people at the doghouse tonight. So if you've got a season ticket to the game, a lot of season ticket holders still at New Albany, you're welcome to come back out for the contest tonight. And I understand that all the other remaining tickets have already been sold by Silver Creek and New Albany. So unfortunately, if you don't have a ticket to the game at this point, with just 1,000 being allowed, that allotment is gone between season ticket holders and other ticket sales. So again, that thing will be locked down tonight. But 1,000 people should be in the gym, and a little bit more normal than what we're used to right now, but still different, because you can imagine New Albany Silver Creek with this Silver Creek team this year, the doghouse would be rocking tonight. Up at Silver Creek a year ago, that place was packed as well. But tonight will be a little different, but again, 1,000 people, that's a little more normal than what we've had the last couple weeks for Jeff Floyd Central and Jeff Providence last weekend. The weekend before, Jeff New Albany was odd as can be, with two immediate family members or so in the gym per student athlete. Just different times, but tonight's game is sold out, but season ticket holders are welcome to come to the game and use their ticket at the doghouse. That's going to wrap things up for this Friday program. Speaking of the New Albany Silver Creek game, we'll have the broadcast live on the Big X. We'll be on the air about 7:10 tonight with our pregame coverage, so make sure to join us for that. If you're out and about and want to check in on the game, know the score, know some of the top performers, we'll have you covered this evening here on the Big X. And on Saturday, we'll head down to the Pocket City. We've got New Albany at Evansville Wrights. Last weekend, we had two Jeff games. This weekend, we've got two New Albany games. Back with you Monday, Rutgers and IU on Sunday. We'll talk about it all Monday. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.